The DigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Center Show. Show 123, Thursday, 20th September, 2007. Show the Orb Networks. I'm Ian Dixon, and this week on the show, Mike Siemens from Exceptional Innovation joins me to talk about LifeWare and the changes they've made to LifeWare since Mike was on the show last year, and since Windows Vista has launched and the effect that Vista has had on products like LifeWare, and the whole change really to how Media Center has been viewed within the custom install market since Vista has been launched. I also have email, news items, and a chance to win a copy of One Voice's Media Center Communicator and Qbeam wireless microphone, so more on that later. First, I'm going to dive straight into the email, and this is from Stephen Rowe regarding the problem mentioned last week, and the week before actually, on the music library of Windows Media Player. And he said, "I had the same problem as mentioned on show 122, of losing not just my music, but videos and pictures as well. Telling Media Player to monitor folders didn't do anything, and the folders would disappear the next time I went in to see what it was doing. Media Player finally would not even start up. Moving the library worked like a champ, and I didn't lose my recorded TV settings. You asked for votes on your format of your videos. I like the high-quality WMV. They are long enough that I want to sit down on the couch and watch them on the TV, and HQ makes them look a lot better. Finally, having been listening since show 18, I couldn't bring myself to buy a Media Center computer as I usually buy my own. Finally, I was able to try it out when Vista Beta 1 came out last June, and I've been running Vista Premium since January. Hooked up an Xbox 360 into the living room. The 360 noise was horrible when watching TV, but was totally unacceptable when listening to music. Got a great deal on a very quiet HP, stuck in a fanless Nvidia 6600 with video out, and run it from the couch. I have resisted getting HDTV as the content selection here in Canada is poor, cable card is not available, and single tuner 160GB DVR for cable company is underpowered and overpriced. Thanks for the email, Stephen. Going back to the database problem with Media Player, and he mentioned about moving that. That's actually sort of kind of recreating and creating a new music library, and if you listen to show 122, you'll hear about the instructions on doing that. But it's good to see that fix worked for you. You mentioned about the video quality as well. It's good to hear that you like the high quality WMVs. In fact, I'm testing something new on the latest video I put up, which is about the Amora home theater case. I'm actually using blip.tv to host the WMV video file. So I'd like to see how you get on with this service, and more on that video later. Now, an email on the BBC iPlayer. This is the player that BBC are going to be launching for UK viewers to be able to watch BBC programmes after they've been transmitted. And this is an XP-only player. There's been some controversy of whether the BBC should support other platforms, Linux, Mac, and Vista as well. But aside from that, I got an email from Matt who's been trying it. He said, "Hi Ian, just thought I'd drop you a quick email to say the BBC iPlayer content streams effortlessly through the Xbox 360. Extender, even using the GUI file. Just ensure that the BBC downloads folder is monitored by Windows Media Player. XP works fine, so you don't even need Media Center. The only caveat is the BBC bizarre naming convention, the video files. You and your listeners probably know this already, but just in case. Still, it made my day. Best wishes. Enjoy the show, Matt." Thanks for the email, Matt. Actually, I hadn't tried that. I've not been able to try that because it's in sort of limited beta at the moment. So I'm glad that you've tried that and you've got that working and streaming through your Xbox 360. I'm definitely going to be trying that. One question for you, Matt. What's the quality like when you're watching it on a TV? Now, to an email around home automation, which is obviously something we're going to be talking about today with LifeWare. Hi, Ian. Thanks a bunch for your reply on the Media Smart TVs. This is from Errol, by the way, who emailed in a few shows ago. It's tough to decide which way to go for automated home upgrade, M-Control or HomeSeer and Lifeware. I would enjoy hearing your opinion of these two viable starting points and if you see one of them having a clear advantage over the other. My guess is starting with M-Control, Hype PC, Z-Wave modules and Media Center Communicator and a few beans is simpler and cheaper than Lifeware and offers similar features. After talking with HomeSeer today, it's clear to me that they're missing VR for email and phone, etc. VR being voice recognition. So thanks for the email. It is a hard one to answer, that one, and you know, trying to be impartial. We've got Lifeware on the show this week, and we've got Embedded Automation talking about M-Control in a few weeks, and M-Control do some sponsorship on the site as well. So, but still trying to keep this fair and balanced. I haven't tried Lifeware's products, so hoping to do so soon. I have tried M-Control and the new version 2, and I do like those products. And in combination with Media Center Communicator, you've got the voice control as well. So, it depends really much on your needs. I'm hoping to do a video review of M-Control in a few weeks, and then hope later after that, looking at Lifeware as well, so you can make your mind up with the videos. You should also have a look at Chris Lanier's mini review of M-Control 2.0, and a link for that is in the show notes. So thanks for the email, and hopefully we've got some information coming up the next few shows that should help you out. I found on the email too a correction from Andy Henderson. He says, "Loves show, but your attempts to print out Hopage are grating a bit." And he sends me a link to the FAQ, and he explains, now I'm going to pronounce it wrong how I've been pronouncing it, and I'll explain the way that it should be pronounced. The FAQ explains, Hopage is a town in New York on Long Island. Hopage is pronounced Hop Hog. So there you go, Hop Hog. I've been pronouncing it as Hopage, as that's the way it looks to me, but it's Hop Hog. And if anybody else has got any corrections on the pronunciation of that or anything else, please let me know. It's great to be informed. And I still think that sounds really strange, Hop Hog, but as as Andy points out, you know, like a town in Horwich, which is near me, is spelt Horwich. So, you've got to get it right. So, thanks, Andy. Now, a couple of news items before we go to the interview. I mentioned before about the video, and this week I put a video out of the Amora TF8 Home Theatre PC chassis. It was interesting to compare it, especially with the Sony XL301-302 MIDI Center PC I reviewed a few weeks ago, which is a similar design. This was just a chassis for you to build your own Media Center PC. So in the video I had to take a look at the case and have a look how it would fit in within your home theater system, and also have a quick peek inside the unit. And thanks to Special Tech for sending that one over. A link in the show notes, and they've actually said that if you buy one of the Amora TF8s and pre-order it from their website, you'll get free shipping if you tell them you were sent by the Media Center Show. Have a look in the show notes, and I hope you like the video. And like I said before, I'm testing the download service from blip.tv, so please let me know if you have any issues with the video. But so far, I can see through the stats that lots of people have watched it, so it looks to be working okay, and it really does save the massive load off my own server, because video files are obviously so big and a lot of people are downloading it, and it can cause a few problems. Now some other news. Congratulations to Stephen Harding, also known as Ignorance is Bliss on various forums, and congratulations on becoming a community dev expert over on the MediaCenterSandbox.com on the forums there. Stephen makes a fantastic contribution to the Media Center development community, and he's helping people out on those forums there all the time with the Media Center market language and other Media Center topics. And you'll also know Stephen as the author of the DigitalLifestyle.com developer blog, and Stephen has written some good applications for Media Center, including Yugle. So well done, Stephen, on that recognition. And Stephen has also posted about a new project he's working on. It's an open source project that's trying to solve the issue that sort of plagues developers, which is how you get Media Center applications installed onto Media Center without resorting back to the desktop. And if you use your Media Center PC connected up to your TV, and you may not even have a keyboard and remote and use it exclusively in the Media Center mode, when a developer issues a new application, you generally have to install it via the Windows interface and leave Media Center. So Stephen's working on an open source project to kind of smarten this up and make it work from the Media Center user interface. It's called Adinstrator, and like I said, it's an open source project that's on codeplex.com/adinstrator. A link for that in the show notes, and have a look at Stephen's blog for more details. But he wants developers to get involved and work on it, and I think it's a great project. So any developers looking to write their own applications should check out Stephen's project to see if he can come up with a solution for that. And finally, I want to mention a chance to win a copy of my book via James Senior on his blog. James is part of the team running the Vista After Hours event, which if you listen to the show on Thursday, I'll be out this evening in Manchester, and if you listen after that, it was in Manchester. And so James is giving a copy of the book away, co-written with Tony Campbell, and head over to his blog and see how you can win that. And if you're at the Manchester event and you're listening to this on Thursday afternoon, then come and say hello to me. And competition time from the Media Center show. Thanks to One Voice, I'm going to be giving away a copy of Media Center Communicator and a LTB Q-Beam wireless microphone system. So you know Media Center Communicator, it's a voice control software for Media Center, and the LTB Q-Beam is the wireless system for controlling that. So you've got a radio wireless system, so it's very robust in the way it works, and you can sit on the sofa, control your Media Center Communicator with your voice. You don't need any cables or anything else. And like I mentioned before, you can control home automation and plenty of other stuff. So to win this, all you have to do is head over to One Voice's site, which I'll link in the show notes, and watch the video demo that's on, and send me an email to ian@thedigitallifestyle.com with the name of the slideshow that's being played by the voice. So have a look at the video, have a look at the slideshow and work out the name. Send me an email, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, with your answer. Just let me know your town, city and your country as well. And in a few weeks' time, I'll draw one at random and you'll get this great pack from One Voice. Also, you can get a free trial of One Voice Media Center Communicator from the download section on thedigitallifestyle.com, plus other stuff as well. I've added the M-Control 2.0 trial as well, so have a look at that. Right now, a quick message from One Voice. I'll be back with Mike Siemens.
Introducing Media Center Communicator, the perfect complement for Windows Media Center. Imagine walking into your home and simply speaking to play music, watch TV, read and send email, call to order pizza, and more. Now with Media Center Communicator, you have full control of your digital home using only your voice. And best of all, there is no voice training required. And built on One Voice's Media Center Communicator, MCEach Speech Tools is a powerful speech recognition toolkit, allowing developers of Media Center compatible applications to easily incorporate speech recognition commands as features. One Voice offers licenses for MCE Speech Tools, along with its Media Center Communicator, to the rapidly growing community of Media Center developers. Just say it to play it. To learn more, go to www.onev.com.
Mike Siemens, welcome to the Media Center Show.
It's good to be here.
And we're going to be talking today about Lifeware from Exceptional Innovation. And I know we talked, we were trying to work out over a year ago, but there's so much happened since then around Media Center and what Lifeware have been doing. I thought we could recap and go through some of that stuff. So first, in case anybody has not heard the previous shows, what is Lifeware and who are Exceptional Innovation?
Lifeware has been a software product that was created 3 years ago. Our first product launch was 2 years ago. But ultimately, it was designed to take automation and all the different devices that are in your house and bring them together and make them available on a media center. And so that was our real first entry into the marketplace, is making Media Center extended into home automation. But we kind of had a whole different way of doing it. We took the approach of taking this industry, this whole, you know, automation industry and driving a standard with Microsoft and other companies and trying to standardize the way that the devices communicate across the home network. And so we've done a lot of work on bringing hundreds of products into the fold of this web service device standard. And then we've done a lot of work on evolving, you know, what LifeWare started out as an automation system. We've really seen our company much more now as entertainment. And entertainment is a form of automation that, you know, just different content. And so it's all about organizing content, organizing all the things that we have into very easy-to-use interfaces. And but at the heart of it, LifeWare is still a software system, and it's the glue that holds all of these different things together in a home.
Right. So before you had the Media Center versions, you had your own software that ran on different platforms.
Yeah. I mean, we've always had Media Center as the core platform that LifeWare is designed for. And it's still, LifeWare is still software that is installed on Windows operating systems and brings out all of the different things that LifeWare has now been designed to touch and to bring together in the home. So it still is software. Some of the things we'll talk about today are some of the hardware pieces that we've brought out because, you know, our mentality is if something doesn't exist that's going to make the software run really, really well, then we'll make that, you know, and we'll bring that out in the marketplace. And that's what we've done with a few products.
It's interesting you mentioned there about, you know, probably when we talked last time, the focus was on home automation, and I want to talk about home automation. But you mentioned that you've kind of moved into more of the sort of the home entertainment as a whole. What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, you know, I mean, we really have learned as customers have been, you know, experiencing LifeWare and putting it in their homes that automation is a part of the entertainment system. And, you know, while there's other values that are coming out as far as personalization and security and comfort and things, it really is, it's another form of content. And we've even learned in the software development cycle that people want to navigate and consume the things in their home similar to the way that they want to navigate around their music collection and their thermostats, or I mean, that their pictures and things like that. So you know, we've learned as our company has matured that, you know, we focus on entertainment as the backbone of a home, and the televisions become the primary place that automation comes to life. And so, you know, it really is just an extension of that network that's designed for TV and music and video distribution.
So looking at the home automation side of things then, so what kind of things can you do on the home automation side?
Well, since we talked last, one of the big things that's come into the marketplace now is obviously Windows Vista. And we talked, you know, in our last conversation that LifeWare is designed around this web service for device technology that is about, you know, the network connected device side of the house where things that you plug into your home network automatically are discovered and brought into a operating systems for the ability to control them. And since Vista's launched, everything that LifeWare did for all of the work we did for the last 3 years actually became, you know, natively a part of the device manager. So now if you open up a LifeWare home, if you open up your network places in a home like that, it'll show you your PCs, you know, that are connected to the network, and it'll show you, you know, if you have a NAS or anything, but it'll also show you each of the different automation components in your home just in that standard network places area. So it's become part of the standard that Vista is built on, and these devices come natively into the network of operation. But secondarily, we've expanded significantly what kind of devices we're talking to. So starting with light switches and thermostats and you know, audio distribution systems, now it's into, you know, security systems that have web service devices built in, and washers and dryers and ovens and, you know, handheld devices. And just a whole the growth of the things that you can plug into a network like this has expanded greatly.
Yeah, that's interesting. You mentioned that, you know, the web service. I remember talking about this last time. So this is where you've got your own a set of standards for the devices to communicate, and then as long as manufacturers follow those guidelines, you can use them with LifeWare.
Yeah, and it's really, I mean, it's a standard that's part of the W3C, so it's, you know, it's something that is all built into the web service standard that's been, you know, ratified for an industry of communication, and Intel, or I'm sorry, Microsoft, IBM, and Ricoh were responsible for the generation of this standard, and ultimately we're just forcing our industry or encouraging our industry to embrace it to make the communication between devices more seamless. And so if a company embraces it to the point of embedding it into their product, that's the ultimate goal. And we have multiple, DSC is one of our partners that have done that, and there's others that we can talk about. There are some companies that are in this transition still, where we created a device called a LifeLink module that ultimately has a legacy interface on one side for serial or IR or contact relay or other things like that. And then the back end of it is wired or wireless Ethernet, and that little device translates that legacy system into web service device language for the network. And then the third one is you can simply plug any of these types of subsystems into your computer, and your computer can software translate their legacy, their proprietary protocol into web service devices and express it to the rest of the network as a network-attached device. So there's, you know, while we're hopeful that more partners, you know, embrace it and embed it, and we are working with many of them to do that, there's transitionary steps that are being taken in order to make that market grow.
And so what's the difference between this protocol and your traditional home automation protocols, you know, like X10 or Z-Wave and all these kind of technologies?
So this is above the umbrella of like a Z-Wave technology. So Z-Wave is a narrow mesh network of, you know, light switches and thermostats and, you know, even window shades and other things that it's built specifically for this narrow mesh device network of little, you know, things that are in your home that are absolutely necessary to automation, but it isn't necessarily the protocol for, you know, for distributing media and music through the house, or for a cell phone to get onto a network and have access to devices that are there. And web service for devices is a layer above that, you would have a Z-Wave gateway that would communicate with all the Z-Wave devices in your home, and then the gateway would enable all those devices to speak web service device technology into the network as a central point to get to for all those ancillary, you know, mesh devices that are out on the network. So, and the same thing would be the case with, you know, the oven and with, you know, with a distributed audio system. So it's the expectation is not that every single thing that communicates in your house has a Z-Wave chip in it. While I know Z-Wave would love that, the reality is that, you know, all these other protocols or all these other system interfaces out there need a way to be plug and play, able to become part of the network and be, you know, be interoperated with.
Right. So the web services is kind of a high level protocol for the devices to communicate. You know, use the native protocols sort of at a lower level, but the web services is how the intelligence gets passed around.
That's right. I mean, it's more of a Switzerland as far as the bus. It's not looking for, you know, it has to be on this bus in order to communicate. It's really generic across bus systems. So you could have serial devices that are connected and talking, web service devices through a translator. You could have, you know, Ethernet devices, 802.11 devices. You could have Zigbee, Z-Wave, Insteon, you know, any of those different buses for transactions of communication can be all, you know, brought together and made to communicate across one central, you know, language barrier.
And then I suppose then that there's more intelligence between the devices then, so that different elements can talk to each other and understand the status and those kind of things, because you've got this advanced sort of communication between them.
Yeah, I mean, we make a product called a control panel that is kind of the central manager between all of these devices throughout the house. And in there you can say, you know, when this device has an event that changes, I want all of these other devices to act upon it. So something like arming a security system, you know, I do my arm away button on my security system, which arms all of my doors and windows and motion sensors, but that event can tell the rest of the house to respond and shut down lights, you know, turn down thermostats, turn off all televisions, and, you know, basically put the rest of the house to sleep while the security system is really the primary focus.
And this is one of the things I like about home automation, that you're not just turning, I think I've mentioned it on the show previously with other home automation stuff we talked about, you're not just turning lights on and off from your PC, it's the intelligence of saying, yeah, I'm leaving the home now, arm the alarm, turn the PC, you know, turn the screens off, shut my things down, put, you know, that is, to me, is the sort of the benefit of home automation.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, we're still in a world where, you know, we're not able to go to the predicting behavior part of home automation. Like, you know, I enter a room and it sets itself up automatically for my preferences. We're not quite there yet. While we have prototypes of things that are there, the problem is that, you know, 90% of the world walk into their room and there isn't a device in their room that can respond to them if they had a presence detection system. And so we really have to get to this level of, you know, getting smart things in the house so that they can be responded to. The first real estate that's available to us to actually bring this stuff out is the television and the PC and the cell phone. I mean, all of the screens that are in our house already. And that will evolve into more natural methods of actual community, of home interaction. You know, a lot of people want to talk about voice automation and things. And while that is a great, you know, down the road type of a technology, and there's some neat things that are available now, it's really not, we're not to the point of all these other input methods until we really tackle the, you know, the back end of how the devices are receiving instructions and how those instructions are being viewed by a user to make them relevant, you know, in something as simple as a television.
Mm. And then I suppose you mentioned about control panels and things. So have you got different ways of interacting with the system then, as well as through Media Center?
Yeah, I mean, Media Center is, like I said, in a lot of homes, it's a living room entertainment center, and that's their primary experience with lights and thermostats that are around the home. But when people want to add, you know, another device in a room where it may not be for a television type of a location, say it's in the kitchen, we sell a product called LifePoint, which is an in-wall Windows embedded touchscreen that allows that same user experience to come to an in-wall user base that you walk up to and you interact with your finger as opposed to remote control. And then there's other, you know, manufacturers, other partners of ours that are making things like Xbox 360 is another access point. Xbox 360 can have LifeWare running in it as well, where you can control the different environmental things in the home. You know, as the Pika devices start coming out this year, those are all receivers of this user experience. And then things like ultra mobile PCs that roam the home, that you're not, you know, tied to a location, that are, you know, across the wireless network, are also receivers of this, you know, environmental control system.
So you think that eventually then, this is the way that the home automation is going to go, the ones that use PCs, so that you're going to have sort of a media center, and that being one of the main interfaces because it's in the living room and it's a good visual display. But you're also going to say, like you said, media center, sorry, UMPCs, and maybe even your cell phone and other ways of interacting with it.
We think that a combination of something like Windows Home Server or something like that and Media Center being at the center of a home, you know, one of them is managing reliably all of the media and content and data that the home is, you know, is built on and is stored in the home, and the other one is managing the entertainment systems, you know, cable card, television, and you know, all of the different recorded TV options that are there, as well as providing the user interfaces to the extenders in the home. But those two core pieces, you know, become central to any home that has these, you know, these types of capabilities to it. And then once you have that core, then it's really up to you on the things that you want to add to the recipe. So, you know, I want to add light switches. Well, if they're talking web service devices, it, you know, web service for device technology, it's talking to that central system, and it's able to be managed across the home. If I want to add a second, you know, location where I want to watch television, I can add an extender, I can add an Xbox 360. You know, if I want to add a mobile device, I go and buy a ultra mobile PC or a pocket PC or something like that. And ultimately, you just grow from that core in whatever area that's of interest to you. It gives that choice where people aren't forced into it by nature of our product line. It's really an open platform for people to add to.
And on things like the UMPC, is there a separate interface that is designed specifically for UMPs and small form factors, or do you run with a media center interface on them?
Well, I mean, there's two of the main interfaces that we've released right now. One of them is in Media Center Markup Language, MCML, and that lives obviously inside of Media Center. Another one is we use WPF, the Windows Presentation Foundation, or that the new DirectX. And the nice thing about that is that we can scale that the user interface on a WPF client to be, you know, something that gets smaller and smaller and the buttons to get bigger and bigger. We can do that in more, you know, more natural ways where Media Center can scale, you know, to a certain extent. But, you know, once you get into like a little, you know, a Sony UX ultra mobile PC size, it gets pretty small to operate with your finger on a 4-inch screen. So, you know, we can do a lot more with that in you know, a WPF client than we may be able to in MCML.
I mean, that's interesting because I have a UMPC, a Samsung Q1, and I kind of have that on the sofa, you know, most of the time. So that's a good way then of, you know, you want to interact with your home automation, you want to turn the lights off and on, or you know, whatever you want to do, you don't have to interrupt what you're doing on the Media Center PC. You can use your companion device to control that.
Right. And you can see, you know, you can see in the future a lot of that same technology coming into, you know, the remote controls, and just it's really extending, you know, the capabilities of Media Center and of Lifeware into devices that matter. You know, something that I naturally would have in my hand, like my cell phone. You know, I walk in the house, my cell phone should become a place where I can go to get information about what's going on in my house, and I can also control things.
Yeah, because like you said, it's not really the device. It's the fact you've got these devices that mean, you know, they should all be able to talk together, and it's not tied to one particular system or, you know, device.
Right, that's right.
Now, I want to go back on to, you mentioned about the Vista and Media Center market language. Of course, since we last talked, you know, Vista's launched, and you've got a new version of Lifeware for Vista. So can you explain to listeners that haven't come across this before, what is the difference between the Vista version of Lifeware and what you had previously on XP?
You know, I mean, it's really a whole user experience change, and obviously an application, you know, change based on previously we used a .NET application inside of Media Center that we were able to bring Lifeware out the way we did in Windows 2005. But now it's obviously all MCML. We've become very capable in that programming language, I would say, and we've also taken the mentality of the whole user navigation paradigm of galleries and pivots. We want users who embrace Media Center to have a natural transition from galleries and pivots for content to galleries and pivots for control. And so literally you go into Lifeware and all of the things that you care about in that room are set up in a gallery that as you move through it behave very similar to Media Center. And when you select something that you want to go into further, you just select that icon or that gallery piece, and it will then take you into a screen that allows you to control that gallery or that device more clearly. And so it's both from the application side, but we've also done a lot of work with the actual, you know, center, what we call the Lifeware server side of the software, which is where all of the logging and the administration and, you know, setting up Lifeware and setting up the interaction between devices and what you call scripting of devices, meaning things that behave as a macro altogether. And so those have been major changes that have come out since Vista's launched. And we've, you know, there's been plenty of, like any other software company, Vista has been a learning curve for us, and we are constantly, we've gotten to a point now where we've broken the back of the transition, you know, as a company, and now we're being able to, you know, start scaling, you know, the capabilities that Vista brought more efficiently into, you know, the new products and the new software that we're developing for future releases.
I suppose that the Media Center market language and the whole way that you can develop applications with Vista have opened up a lot of opportunities for you that you can really make the system more as an extension of Media Center rather than a sort of a separate application.
It does. I mean, it gives us more hooks in. We definitely would like more. You know, being a big Microsoft development company, we're used to, you know, working in Visual Studios and tying into all different, you know, angles of the operating system and being able to do, you know, pretty much anything a development company would want. And while Media Center still has room to grow on how it, you know, enables connection and enables interaction and integration from third-party products like Lifeware, it's still much, much better than it was before. I would say, you know, more than the software, or almost equally to what the software side of you know, Vista's business change and technology change brought to our company, you know, there's been a period of time where the hardware providers have really had to, you know, kind of get their products ready to come to market. And, you know, there's been a lull between, you know, the time of Vista launch and really until just this last month and month before, where the real entertainment focused media centers that are taking advantage of cable card and other technologies are starting to actually come out. And so there's been a lot of that transitionary pain of, you know, getting the right media centers into the marketplace from good manufacturers that make it so that, you know, media center can go to that next level and take advantage of some of the things that Microsoft put into it, you know, in the Vista release.
And I mean, talking of hardware, that was one of the things that I think that's changed since we last talked, is that you've actually got your own range of hardware now.
Yeah, and last time we talked, we had shown publicly our LifePoint touchscreens and we'd shown our controllers. But since we've talked, one of the big announcements at LifeWare has been our new Life Media server line. And, you know, this is really an answer to what I just mentioned, that, you know, there's been such a transitionary period of, you know, having a media center with all of the right parts to it, taking advantage of all of the entertainment aspects of the operating system, that we decided strategically and you know, with Microsoft's help to develop a whole entertainment-focused line of media servers that, you know, are designed specifically to address that total entertainment-focused in a console type of an environment. So we've done a lot of work on that, and that's been a major focus of ours over the last 6 months.
I suppose where you're installing your dealers are installing LifeWare into some of the, you know, the larger installations, I guess you've got to have the hardware that can back up the software that you've got with all the capabilities it's got. If you're not running it on a capable machine, or you're running it even on a capable machine but perhaps not optimized for media center usage, then you don't really get the great experience that you would expect from media center.
Well, and that's, you know, I mean, there's lots of great manufacturers out there, and we, you know, our dealers install many of them. I mean, everywhere from Sony to Dell to HP, I mean, as far as the consumer line, but, you know, then going into Niveus and other products that are coming out that have, you know, are entertainment focused, but really what we needed to see, and, you know, what we had hoped to see in working with HP in the years past is media centers that have the built-in characteristics of entertainment consoles, that they're not PCs that are masquerading as a DVD player, but they're actual, you know, consumer electronic entertainment consoles that happen to have a Windows operating system on it. And that's really, really what we want to see these consoles become. And the purpose of them is to drive them with a remote control and not to use them for, you know, email and for internet access, but they're entertainment consoles. And so we've taken a major initiative here to change that rule, and to just not that we are the only ones that are doing that, but we definitely want to help set the bar high so that the consumer is able to get an experience like you said, whether they're a high-end consumer or it's, I've grown out of, you know, my Dell desktop running my media center experience, you know, from my office into my living room. I now want to go into something that's made for that specific purpose, and that's what Life Media is.
And it is a nice looking device, and, you know, looking at the screenshots of the back of it, you can see it's purpose built for media center, because you've got the right kind of jacks and connections on there, and you're not looking at the sort of usual, you know, PC situation of mini jacks, and then you've got your AV equipment that, you know, uses the different connectors, but this looks like it's got the right connectors and all that's kind of been thought of.
Yeah, I mean, and that's a tough thing to try to stay. There's a balance between, you know, having the back of your, having your media center be flexible and open to accept, you know, standard video cards and standard tuners and, you know, other things that are being manufactured for the market in general, and making a box that is, you know, so customized that you have to have custom video cards and custom tuners and custom audio cards made for it. And so we've taken a great middle ground where Life Media can use and be upgraded with standard, you know, high-end video cards and new tuners that come out. So, you know, if the DirecTV tuner comes out, it's able to upgrade, you know, to that as far as the chassis flexibility and also be able to take advantage of a truly AV-style backplane and even maintain, you know, a backplane that's very customized as far as what what combinations you want to use. And we call our backplane a media plate. And depending on how you change up the configuration of tuner cards and video cards, you just order a plate that snaps on the back of it or screws on the back of it that makes that look like it's a consumer electronic device.
Yeah, so connecting to AV receivers and the different home devices, like you said, it's an AV, it's a consumer electronic device rather than sort of the old-fashioned sort of PC device.
It's on that same vein of, you know, we really see Media Center as an entertainment console. We don't sell it, nor do we ever talk about it as a PC in your living room. It's an entertainment console that, just like I said, happens to run a Windows OS.
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, the Media Center is what you use, and it happens to run on a Windows operating system. But you know, the device is a Windows Media Center server and not a email machine or a gaming console.
Right.
And one of the other things that you mentioned before about was the audio, and I think we may have touched on this on the previous show, but it's something that's sort of coming more and more. As more people go for the home AV installations, is the whole house audio, is that something that LifeWire supports?
Yeah, I mean, that's been something that we've, through the normal channels of whole house audio that have been there, we've enabled Media Center to become an intelligent source and not only control the zones of audio in your house so that I could choose to listen to Diana Krall in the living room and send it to other rooms of the house from that single Media Center, but I can also, you know, go into another room of the house through my standard whole house audio system that is, you know, the Rust Sounds and, you know, the Speaker Crafts and the Niles and these products. I can go into those rooms and I can hit pause, I can hit next track, I can even browse the library that's on the Media Center that I've left in the living room. And so it becomes this two-way interactive, you know, that my whole house audio system talks to my Media Center and my Media Center talks to my whole house audio system. And so we've been pushing on that envelope, you know, for quite some time, and we've been working with partners moving forward in enabling those types of capabilities to come to, you know, any home. You don't have to wire your home to it. You actually, you know, you can wirelessly accomplish that experience of having music in every room of your house be synchronized. You can do that through a retrofittable solution. And that's some of the stuff we're really excited about coming to market here in the next couple of months. And those will be things that will make it available for anyone to have that whole house audio system.
But that's crucial, though, you're saying about that you can do this, you know, without having pre-wired everything, because that's always one of the barriers, isn't it? You know, I've got my house here, I'd like whole house audio, but there's no way I'm going to get away with running new sets of cables and everything else. It's, you know, it's just not practical. So being able to retrofit it and use, you know, either wireless or, you know, some existing technology would be really good.
Yeah, exactly. And that's, you know, that's always, I mean, Media Center is trying to, you know, extend the video experience wirelessly. And while, you know, we still believe there's a good amount of evolution to make that be a, you know, a preferred or even an equal solution to a wired home network, it's still, you know, getting audio to do that is a much easier thing or a much more attainable thing than, you know, getting high definition video to make it across the house wirelessly.
Yeah. And so you think that we're going to see the situation where you can have a Media Center PC with LifeWire installed and then be able to set up sort of synchronized audio without having to buy in a lot of sort of expensive audio equipment?
Well, I think you're going to, not only, you'll get two things. You'll both not have to rewire your house or have somebody come and pull new wire to do that. For those who, that's, you know, if I'm building a house, the best thing to do is wire for it, because that's, you know, wire is still better than wireless. But so you'll have that option. And then secondarily is that the equipment will be, you know, it will be at a reduced, you know, investment in order to get that experience in your house. So you're not going to be paying. And a lot of the cost in getting a whole house audio system in your home is in the custom installation of installing, you know, in ceiling speakers and a, you know, a audio video system that's able to distribute the audio around your house. And you know, it's because of the competent installers that are able to go out and service that market that, you know, that people have been able to get these things built into their house, which typically are, you know, more complex and more difficult to install than somebody would want to do themselves.
So like, I'm thinking, like, the end point receivers of these things, are they something that's going to be sort of a more off-the-shelf package than the traditional sort of requiring a custom installer to come and cable it all up for you?
I think that you know, products like Sonos have shown that there can be a good do-it-yourself distributed audio solution. I think you'll see, you know, a solution that will enable that to happen more easily than it's been, you know, as easily as Sonos or the other competitive solutions like that. But from our side, and this is another thing that we've, you know, grown for the last year, is this group of professionals who are going into people's homes and installing electronics and bringing these types of systems to life. You know, that I don't believe that the next generation consumer is going to rely less on a professional to help them, you know, build and to have this type of a connected environment than have been in the past. I think that more people are going to look to that type of professional to help them and to do the things in their home that they're just not really interested in learning about and trying to figure out how to do themselves. I mean, there'll always be you and me who are going to monkey with it and we're going to do it ourselves and we won't learn about it because it's intriguing, but my parents have no interest in learning about it because it's intriguing. They just want it to work and they want somebody else that knows how to do it for them. And I think as the electronics world continues to grow and continues to get more complex, even though it's getting easier to install, it's more complex to, you know, to understand and to figure out all the best things to do. You know, these professionals, which we've, you know, been fortunate to have had, you know, we've had now 700 LifeWare certified dealers that have come into our fold as you know, extensions of our company, that, you know, they're able to go out there and service those customers.
It's been mentioned on the shows previously, you are, you know, relying on a good dealers and good technicians that, you know about this kind of thing to put in a good installation.
Yeah, I mean, and we do believe that is going to continue to be a key to the evolved connected home. Will be a good set of professionals who can help make that. It kind of like, you know, why Home Depot is doing so well with home remodeling is because they're giving that group of people who want to do it themselves the ability to, but they're also connecting that group of people who don't with, you know, certified carpet installers and, you know, cabinet installation and electricians that can come and do it for them. And, you know, that's going to be the evolution of the electronics industry, is there'll be a do-it-for-me solution that is going to be important in order to make these types of solutions come to life.
And I wonder then how you go about educating sort of the end users that on the capabilities of these systems, because I guess a lot of people would not really. I mean, we're still struggling to sort of educate people the fact that you've got Media Center and the capabilities, but then when you kind of explain all the other stuff it can do, it must be quite difficult getting that message across.
I would say, you know, the biggest thing that Microsoft and all of the partners, including us, struggle with is the awareness of today's product capabilities, the awareness to the general consumer that it can be done. And, you know, you show somebody, and you've probably done this, you've shown somebody your media center that has all these cool things, and it can do music and videos and pictures and movies and record your TV, and it does all this in one box. And most people go, I had no idea that was even possible. I've never seen anything like that. And they get really excited about that. And, you know, then to take them into it and say, and it can control my lights and it talks to my thermostats and it does all these other things, it kind of takes it over the top. And so there's a big effort of getting consumers to know that these things are available to them and that they are, you know, they will enhance the way that they do things in their home. And you know, we're doing that through a couple of different tiers, and Microsoft's doing that through different tiers. But, you know, we have some new tools that will come out at Cedia it's a big U.S. Custom electronics show that will enable consumers to kind of see and touch what a living experience of a LifeWare-enabled home is like. And that's something that, you know, is going to be distributed in lots of different ways for them to experience and play with. But in general, it's just going to take time. It's going to take time for more people to become aware of it, to live with it, and to tell their friends and neighbors that they love it, and then their friends and neighbors get it.
I suppose that's where getting into the retail stores and being able to demo stuff, you know, retail stores like Best Buy and actually show this stuff running, up and running, then that will help, because like you said, everybody's demonstrated this, you know, all the listeners will have demonstrated their own media centers off to friends and family, and everybody's blown away by it. So if you can get into a store and show this off, then that's got to be good for media center and good for LifeWare.
Yeah, and that's another big thing that's happened since you and I talked last is, you know, we are looking at how we get the retail, you know, the retail awareness moving. So, you know, we made a deal with Best Buy actually it was in January of this past year, where they bundled a solution of LifeWare together with other products, a media server, with Xbox 360, light switches, a thermostat, and they put all these products together into a bundle that they brand Connected Life. And they sell this, you know, through their Best Buy for Business channel. And you'll see, you know, other retail exposures of these types of package solutions. Typically, it's not going to be a LifeWare CD on a shelf and all the products surrounding it. It's going to be a bundle of these things together in a kit that are pre-programmed and pre-configured, and you put them in your house and they all work together. It's those types of things that are going to continue and help drive that awareness so that people do get the understanding that there's a whole new way of making your home interact and work.
And I guess this is where you showed off some stuff at CES, wasn't it, that you had all this kind of stuff all up and running?
Yeah, and I mean, we take advantage of trade shows to do that for, you know, some of the more early adopter, you know, consumer market. And, you know, at CES this last year, we built an entire home. We built two homes, and then we actually had some of our good friends from Disney actually, you know, present the technology through the story of people, you know, and so, you know, how people really use this stuff when it's connected in their home. And you know, we had thousands of people go through the experience, and that's another way that we're going to drive awareness, is just by constantly, you know, putting it and making it tangible and making it emotional for how people would use it in their own life. And it's tough to sell somebody something. I always say that if I was selling people electric door locks 10 years ago, it'd be a whole different sell than, you know, trying to sell them now. Now it's an included thing. If you don't have electric door locks on your car, what are you doing? Are you living in the Stone Age? You know, you got to pop your own lock. And this is the same mentality. You know, people have to be brought through that gap of, you know, there's a new way that has all these values. And some of the values, you know, the car industry has been successful in just pushing the values through, whether or not you ask for them or not. They push them through, and then consumers adapt to them, and they begin to, you know, to experience them, and then they can't live without them anymore. And I think the home industry, it's going to take more time for that to actually happen, but that same transition will happen.
Yeah, I suppose when you look at, you know, a modern car, your lights turn on when it goes dark and it rains and your wipers come on, and, you know, when you move away from the car, it locks the car and the windows won't open, you know, when you're away from the car, and all this kind of stuff. Like you said, we've got used to it, and you know, we just accept that as features that we want in new cars. But then, you know, you come to the home and there's just nothing like that kind of intelligence or automation, and it must take time to build that into the home.
Well, and I don't think any of us, you know, sat down at the car dealer and said, I want my car to do all these things, and the car dealer said, we'll make it happen. You know, it was, they bundled it in the XL, the XLi, and the, you know, the XC model, and you could choose which one of the three you wanted, and you chose the one that had the electric locks and the power windows and the DVD navigation system.
I guess that's the reason for that is just the turnaround, you know, in the auto industry is different from in a house. You know, cars have been almost like a consumer item, aren't they, where these technologies being pushed through, whereas, you know, the home, there isn't the same drive to get that in. But as we get these things, then, you know, more people are going to want them as a standard feature.
Yeah, and we see, you know, the way that we're going to leverage those things in are for you to have them and for me to have them and my neighbors to see them. And, you know, it's going to be through that type of a friend connection and a family connection that people are going to start to proliferate these. It's more than an iPod. You know, an iPod can be sold as a single device that you pick up and you use. I mean, it's like selling one of the components that make up the modern car, selling them one at a time. And you don't. You sell it as a whole experience, and it's the experience of test driving that car that makes you aspire to it and want to buy it. And that's what we have to do in the home. And the way we do that is by, if you have it, people are going to be able to test drive it, you know, by going into your home, and then they're going to want it.
Absolutely. I mean, it's like you said earlier, you know, you show Media Center someone for the first time, and they can't believe that you can do all this kind of thing. But since, you know, just doing the show for the last couple of years, that's changed now, where, you know, more and more people know, understand that, and it's just taking them the next level with home automation and these other kind of connected technologies.
Yeah, that's right.
And so, you know, it's something like LifeWare, enthusiasts and thing, how do they fit in with that? Is that something that, you know, if I was a, you know, as an enthusiast, got my media center and like the look of LifeWare, how could I incorporate that into my home setup?
Well, right now the distribution of LifeWare is through our LifeWare dealer network, and then the other means of distribution is through, and so, you know, if an enthusiast wants to start experimenting with, you know, wanting to be to install this in their house and potentially install this in other people's homes and friends, or, you know, make a business out of it, that they can become LifeWare dealers, and we have an online certification program that they can go through and learn all the different aspects of, you know, building a LifeWare system and configuring it, the software. And but then there's, you know, for those who don't want to go through it as an enthusiast or kind of a pro mentality, they can buy the packages from, you know, Best Buy, where they get a package with the systems in it. They can buy another one of our partners is DSC. They're a Tyco security company that they bundle LifeWare and all the other modules together for a security-centric solution. Currently, what we're not offering to general public is a CD SKU for them to, you know, load and tinker with themselves. I mean, in the future, we've kind of gone down the path of offering a developer, you know, type of a mentality to LifeWare, where, you know, we want to have continued development and outside development and enthusiasts doing that, and so that's something we've considered, but it's not something that we've, you know, launched yet.
Right, yeah, and that actually goes on to the next question. Anybody that's interested in developing these sort of, using these standard interfaces, how do they find out about doing that?
Well, the whole web service device world is a profile. It's public. It's on MSDN, and it's all over the internet. It's called Web Service for Devices, or Device Profile for Web Services, DPWS, and both those names are the same thing. And anybody can, you know, go and find information. Microsoft has, you know, white papers, and there's a whole protocol called Protocol in Vista that's called WSDAPI. It's the Web Service Device API, and, you know, that's something that anybody can develop, and we encourage people to develop their web service devices and to do those things outside of our, you know, outside of our access, because the more WSD systems that are out there, the more, you know, these types of networks are going to grow and grow. And so that's one. There's no restrictions. You don't have to go through LifeWare to be a web service device, you know, enthusiast and to build systems to do that. And then for those who want to become, you know, developers and to work with LifeWare and do things to it that bring that stuff out, that, you know, we encourage them to become LifeWare certified and to become dealers of the product and able to, you know, to experience it themselves and also, like I said, you know, use it for others.
I imagine then for some of the serious, you know, pros, there's a lot of opportunities for not just for the developers, but for, you know, installations and, you know, to put this technology out there, because, you know, coming from the PC side of things, you know, there's a lot of knowledge that PC, serious PC users have got that they could utilize for sort of installing this kind of stuff.
You know, it's a really fun market, because you have a lot of people that have been, you know, working corporate jobs, they've been programmers, they've worked for IT companies, or, you know, lots of different backgrounds that there's a new small business, and it's not even new, it's, you know, it's 20 plus years old, of people who their business has been taking technology into residential application and, you know, installing them one home at a time. But that market and the ability to do things in that market is growing, you know, because of things like LifeWare, where you can take that background of, you know, being in an IT position at a company or being in a technical position and, you know, opening up a business that is designed to, you know, put these types of connected environments in people's homes, one home at a time, or, you know, or subdivisions at a time, and we have dealers that are doing both. It's a really fun business, you know, to grow, because it's all about small business, and it's about, you know, building it on the backs of people who really know how to do it.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And to get more information about LifeWare, where's the place to go?
We have a good website. It's called life-ware.com. That's life-ware.com, and that should tell you everything you want to know.
Yeah, and there's some good pictures there of the Life Media box as well.
Yeah, it has lots of good pictures of all the different things we're doing. It's got a great white paper on there about web service for device technology and you know what that how that all works. So there's some great technical information in there as well.
And also, I should mention that LifeWare won an Electronic House Product of 2007 year award earlier this year.
Yeah, we won a 2006 and a 2007 award for LifeWare, and we continue to have great success, you know, putting this into the market.
Well, I think LifeWare is a great product, and it's great to see Media Center sort of boundaries being pushed forward by a product like LifeWare, and enabling the Media Center being pushed into the sort of the custom AV installer market. So I think it's a great product, and it's really good to talk to you about it today.
Well, we appreciate your support and all that you're doing for Media Center. You've really been a major influence in making this a real platform in the market. So it's good to be
and
here.
Hopefully we'll see some more of your stuff at CES next year.
Yeah, I'm sure you will.
Well, many thanks for your time today. I do like talking about LifeWare, and hopefully we'll get you on a future show again.
Sounds great.
Thanks to Mike. I'll see you tonight at the Vista After Hours event in Manchester. If you listen to this after Thursday, which probably most people do, and hopefully it was a good event, please keep the email coming in, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. I'll see you around on the forums, and don't forget the video and competitions. Bye.